morning. It's good to be with you today. We're glad to have those of you that are visiting with us. Glad that you're here. Hope that you can come and be with us again. Please fill out one of the blue visitors cards on the back of the pew in front of you, if you would, so we can have a record of your visit. I'm going to talk this morning about the subject of responding to the resurrection. Responding to the resurrection. In Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, concerning his son who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is a very powerful statement about Christ. The resurrection certainly is a historical event, and it was a proclamation to all mankind. It proclaims to us what happened the Friday night of the Passover week many, many years ago. It was no ordinary execution, and Jesus was really no criminal, although he was considered a criminal in that day. He was not an ordinary man in any stretch of the imagination. He was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. He was divine. And he is the Son of God who died so that we might live. In Galatians 2, verse 20, he says he did that because he loved us and he gave himself for us. And that really is an amazing story. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 9 explains really how amazing this is. For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, although perhaps for the good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we will be saved from the wrath of God through him. And so Paul explains here how amazing it is what Christ did for us. He died for us, not because we were worthy, but because we were unworthy. He died for us as sinners. And he died for those who were his enemies. He died for those who crucified him on the cross. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says this, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And so Christ died for those who are described here as children of wrath. So when we look at the resurrection, the question is, what should we do with it? How should we respond to the resurrection of Christ? One of my coworkers recently was relating a story when he went to the doctor, and the doctor was telling him that he needed to take his vitamins and he needed to get more exercise. And the doctor put it this way, you need to exercise religiously. And he said, now, doctor, you're going to have to explain what that means, because for me that means I'm going to exercise twice a year. And he said, that's not what I think. I'm going to exercise on Easter. I'm going to exercise on Christmas. No, for some people, religiously, that might be what it means. And sadly, much of the modern world today thinks that today is somehow special because it has been dubbed Easter. And for many, the response to Jesus' resurrection is about an annual observance. And it's a mixture of Christian and pagan and secular rituals. But really, this isn't the purpose of our lesson today, but nowhere in the Bible did God authorize us to respond to the resurrection one time a year with some kind of annual holiday. And if you want to know more about that, just go and Google the history of Easter and you'll see what the history really is. So, you know, sadly, what I'm saying, many times the response that somebody may have to the resurrection is, I'm going to respond to it one time, you know, once a year. And this morning we partook of a weekly observance, the Lord's Supper, that we partake to remember the sacrifice that Christ did for us. And we see the example of that in the New Testament, how that was done every first day of the week. And we remember Christ's death and his sacrifice. And certainly that is part of our response to the resurrection of Christ. But really, our response to the resurrection of Christ is not something that is a weekly or yearly ritual. It's something that we do every day. And we want to look this morning at Romans chapter 6 and see what it is that should be our response to the resurrection of Christ, and learn three responses here that we can see in Romans chapter 6 that show us how it is that we ought to appreciate Jesus' sacrifice and His resurrection for us. First of all, we want to recognize that we respond to the resurrection of Christ by being crucified with Christ. And you may ask, well, what does that mean? Does it mean that I have to be, put up on a cross just like Christ? Well, I think we understand that's not what the Bible means when it tells us to be crucified with Christ, because it's not really possible for us to go back in time and be one of those guys on the side and be crucified with Christ. So what does it mean? Romans chapter 6 and verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. So Romans chapter 6 helps us define what it means to be crucified with Christ. It means that our old self is to be crucified with Christ in order to put away the body of sin. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 helps us identify this as well. It explains the debt that is owed and the debt that we have or had because of sin. Verse 13 of Colossians chapter 2, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all of our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And so when we think about being crucified with Christ, sometimes people think about this passage, that our sins were nailed to the cross, and that Jesus has done this for us, and because of that, we have been forgiven. But I want to submit to you that this is what Christ did for us. This was Christ's response to our need. He died so that our sins could be wiped away. If we want our sins to be wiped away, there are certain things that we need to do to respond. So, this does not really explain what it means to be crucified with Christ, but this passage explains what Christ did for us in dying for us, and that there were things that were against us that are no longer against us. We have to crucify ourselves with Christ. So let's read a couple more passages and see if we can come to a determination of what that means and what that requires of us. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul was a man who once walked according to the ways of the world. He once persecuted Jesus and persecuted other followers of Jesus. But then he became a Christian with the total 180 in the way that he behaved. And he says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And so Paul explained, he helped define what it means to be crucified with Christ. And he said, I'm not in control any longer. He is not living the way that he wants to live. He's living the way that Christ wants him to live. Through His death and resurrection, we have been bought with a price. Paul was bought with that same price. And we respond to Jesus paying that price for us by glorifying God. Paul explained in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 that we glorify God in our bodies. We'll say more about that in a minute, but he's simply saying everything that he does, every action, everything that he does in his life is because he's crucified with Christ and he's no longer doing it for himself. In Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, Jesus explains what it means if you want to be his disciple. And he says, was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. And again, this is really parallel to what Paul was saying about his life. Jesus is saying, if you want to be my disciple, you need to take up my cross daily. You need to do it every day. Sometimes people worry about things in the future. And those that advise you, if you're so tied up worrying about the future, they tell you to take it one day at a time. And Jesus is saying, you need to do this one day at a time. You need to serve me. You need to get up out of bed and serve me every day. Crucify your will to Christ every day. Deny yourself every day. And lose your life in order to gain true life. That is what Paul said he did. That's what Jesus is saying you needed to do to be his disciples. So we respond to the resurrection of Jesus Christ by being crucified with him. And that doesn't mean that we just recognize, you know, once in a while, oh, you know, I need to go pay homage to Christ, some kind of ritual. Paul said, no, I crucified myself in that I no longer am living to myself. And that was a daily thing. We also respond by considering ourselves dead to sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Paul said, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Is that Paul saying that, well, you should just forget about sin. You should just pretend that you never sin. I don't think he's not saying that you should just ignore it. And that if you're sinning, well, you know, I don't sin anymore. I consider myself to be dead to sin. What he's saying is that's not your life anymore. That's not what you should be wanting. Sin is something that should not be so attractive to you anymore. It should not be pulling you in. When you die to sin, you are freed from its control. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 3, that there is a difference in the one who is in the body of Christ and the one who's in the world. And he said, you've been in the world long enough. We have already spent enough time in sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and idolatries. He says, for if that time has already passed, that you have been carried out of the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. He's saying you should consider yourselves dead to these things. It's time to give these up. And the longer that you are away from these things, the less and less pull it's going to have in your life. And Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, that we need to consider these types of things dead in our lives as well. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in them. But now you must also put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its deeds. All of these things are to be put away. So how do you respond to the resurrection? By considering yourselves to be dead to sin, and not just saying, okay, I'm dead to sin, but actually living a life that is dead to sin. That's what's being pointed out here. You know, Jesus did not die and was resurrected just to allow us to go to church sometimes, but live a life however we want to live. But we're just going to go in and punch our ticket once in a while because I feel like I need to do that every now and then. He died and was resurrected to free us from all these things that Paul is talking about, to free us from a life of sin. and deliver us from that to a life of purity. So our response to the resurrection is to do that, to put away those things and to be dead to sin. We also respond, as Paul said in Romans chapter 6, that we need to present our members to righteousness. Romans chapter 6 in verse 13. That's not the verse I have up on the screen, but turn over there if you would to Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. This corresponds to what we see here in Colossians chapter 3, where Paul is saying here to our life and our body, everything that we do is to be committed to righteousness. In Colossians chapter 3, the first part of the chapter, we're told to be dead to sin and put off sin. And in the second part of the chapter, we're told to put on the new man. So there's a difference between the old man and the new man. The new man is renewed to a knowledge of God and to put on a heart that embodies these things. And starting in verse 9 of Colossians 3, do not lie to one another, since you lay aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. The gospel was for all. It was for everybody, and the Jews and Gentiles who were arguing back and forth with one another about who is worthy. Well, none of them were really worthy at all, but Christ died for all of them, Paul said. So quit this argument about who's better. None of you are, but Christ died for you all, and in Christ there's no difference. And you all need to do the same thing. Regardless of what your past is, what your nationality is, you put off the old man and all the attributes of the sinfulness of the old man and put on the new man. And to put on love, allowing the peace of Christ to rule us in our hearts and the word of Christ to dwell richly within us. So we respond to the resurrection of Christ by having a life of righteousness. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 20. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you have put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed to the spirit of your mind. When you hear today people preaching a gospel that all you have to do is accept Christ as your personal Savior, but then they teach that you don't have to change, it really goes counter to everything that we've read this morning that's talking about what the difference is between those who know Christ and those who don't. There's a difference in the old man and the new man. There's a transformation. In every letter that Paul writes, he talks about this transformation, because there is a difference in the one that knows Christ and the one who is not living a life according to what they know, or they may not even know him at all. But he's telling those Ephesian brethren, if you've heard him and have been taught by him, you have a responsibility. And here it is. Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, each one speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. So you can see here the definite difference in the old man and the new man. And you can also tell here that there's a lot of work that a lot of people have to do, because anger, bitterness, lying, and malice, those kind of things are very rampant in the world in which we live and should not be a part of anyone who is claiming to have put on the new man and put off the old man. Let's continue in chapter 5 for the next 5 verses. Therefore, be followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, it is not even to be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. You know, I read that and somebody might tell Paul, you know, Paul, you just are too negative. You need to preach on love more. Well, he is preaching on love when he says, if you love God, that you put away these things. An attribute of the love that you recognize that Christ did for you is going to result in you having a heart for him and to put away these things. And Paul needs to be very specific. And sometimes we need to be very specific and say, this is what you need to put away. In case you're not aware of what it is that are the works of the flesh, here they are. And Paul outlines that and tells them. And those that are dedicated to the cause of Christ and want to recognize the power of the resurrection in their life, they're going to realize that they are resurrected out of darkness into light. And they want to live a life that is putting off the old. But not only just putting off the old, but Paul said you have to replace it with these good things. Replace it with the new. He tells you, if you don't lie, so what do? Well, the opposite of that is you tell the truth. You no longer sin when you get angry, but deal with anger quickly, he says. You don't steal. What should you do instead of stealing? You should work and be generous to others. Don't speak unwholesome words, but speak edifying words. Instead of bitterness and wrath, live a life of kindness and tenderheartedness and forgiveness. We walk in love as Christ loved us, and that helps us really define the way that we should live. If we will live as Christ loved us, it really defines the way that we should imitate him. So, how do we respond to the resurrection? We respond by being crucified with Christ. And it's not just a trite phrase. It's not something that we can just say or observe. It's something that we have to live every day. And you know, it might seem a little overwhelming. It seems like there's a lot here to be done. And let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 8. This helps us describe the victory from sin and what it means and what it entails. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. For this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and your brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What this demonstrates to me, that deliverance and victory over evil and over sin is a growth process. It may sound to some like that's a tall order. But what it takes is somebody that's willing to start living a life for Christ and start and put away these things and to grow, as Peter says. We need to continue to grow. according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, the Spirit of life in Christ can and will set us free from sin and death. Weaknesses of the flesh and sin can be overcome by the Spirit working in us, and that comes from us being obedient and making an effort. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can take refuge in Christ. We can respond properly to the resurrection by being crucified with Christ, allowing Him to live through us. We can be dead in sin. We can be alive to righteousness, but that requires a step. We have to make the first step. And that's really defined in Romans chapter 6, where we've been focusing on for the majority of the lesson. According to Romans chapter 6, baptism is the beginning. We enter into Christ's death when we are baptized to do so. Well, where does it say that? Let's read Romans 6, 1 through 5. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Well, no. Paul said we don't want that. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Well, Paul is addressing the Roman brethren and saying, you know, you should not continue in sin because you're dead to that. Well, how did you become dead to that? He tells them, verse 3, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Just a sidebar, he says that those who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. Well, what about those who were not baptized? Well, they were not baptized into His death. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. And so this newness of life that we've been talking about, this putting off of the old man and putting on the new man, Paul defines that as happening in baptism. You are buried in baptism and you arise to walk a new life. This is when that new man starts. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly also we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. And so this is how you come in contact with the resurrection of Christ. This is how the resurrection of Christ means something to us, is when we died and we are raised in newness of life. Jesus died for us and was raised, and because of that, we can have this benefit of also dying to sin and then being raised to walk in newness of life. Verse 6 wraps it up here. He says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So the response to the resurrection of Christ, it requires some faith in Christ, knowing that He is the Son of God. But it culminates here in this baptism that makes us rise to be a new man. And then we start doing all these things that we've been talking about that represent what it means to be a new man. What does a new man do? He puts away these things that are part of an old man's life and puts on the new things. So we enter into Christ's death when we're baptized to do so. We die to sin and we are raised from the grave of baptism to walk in newness of life. And so I would ask you, how do you respond to the resurrection of Christ? Have you really responded to the resurrection of Christ in what we have seen here today? Those on the day of Pentecost that knew that they were guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ asked Peter the question on the day of Pentecost, as Peter told them that they are the ones that were guilty of crucifying the Son of God. Some of them believed others and didn't believe that was the Son of God. They believed the crowd, and they killed an innocent man. What shall we do? We know we're guilty. And Peter told them, repent, each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't done that, then you have truly not responded to the resurrection of Jesus Christ in a way that is of any benefit to you for eternity, because you don't have the ability to be the new man or the new woman all you have is the old body until you are buried and rise up to walk in newness of life. That's how we should respond to the resurrection of Christ. I hope these things will be useful to you, and that you'll consider these things and study these things, and that you will respond in the right way so that you can have the benefit of being in heaven for eternity with all those who have done this very thing. If we can help in any way to do that, we'd invite you to come while we stand together and sing.